Okay. Father, we thank you again for another fine night of fellowship from all of your brothers and sisters across this globe. We praise you, Lord, for a great night tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your Psalms 91 protection upon all of us from any kind of sickness, disease, or whatever that the enemy has stirred up. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority to walk in this world with that authority over all the power of the enemy. We don't have to put up with any kind of sickness, disease, or infirmity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all that authority. Even the youngest Christian has the full, complete authority as Jesus had. All he has to do is utilize it. Father, we thank you that in the days ahead, we're going to see that. We're going to see signs and wonders following your people. Father, and we praise you for it, and we glorify you. That when we walk in that anointing of faith that you've given all of us, that people's lives will be changed because of it. We thank you, Lord, for your revival that we know is coming. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you're going to pour out upon all of your people that are true to you, Lord. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for what you're going to do tonight also. And Lord, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, lead us, guide us, set a watch before our lips, Lord, to speak only as an oracle of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests? Now, let's see who that is. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I just got a text earlier from my mom's husband, my stepdad, Tom. So I guess they have something going on. Next month, I believe. He's not sure of the date, but a cousin of mine from my mom's side of the family, she used to live out in California. And I guess she has her own business as a chef, so she wants to cook for my family and, some of us. But, yeah, I'd like some prayer in that area, just kind of wisdom. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to go. I do. But I was like, well, I've been listening to that what does it mean to be born again series? You know, and I think I've heard David say this before, but it's like, well, you know, being led by the Spirit. You know, don't just assume, hey, you know, tomorrow we're going to do this or tomorrow we're going to do that. But just, you know, as the Spirit, you know, if the Spirit or if God wills, then you will do that. So I just want to ask, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I say, yeah, because I mean, I feel yes, you know, to be a light to them. I should. But I would like, you know, I guess just wisdom. OK, Lord, if you want me to go, OK, then let me know. Open the door. But if not, let me know, because it's just like, you know, I want to be led now by God when I visit family, you know, and all that stuff. So I thought, well, I could use some prayer in that area.
Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Joe to you. And Lord, we just thank you for telling him what you want him to do, Lord. He asked for a word from you to whether he needs to go or to stay. And Father, we thank you for showing Joe through that inner spirit that he has. Tune him in, Lord, to that inner spirit, which that inner spirit is guided by you, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that ever how you tell him, he's going to know it's from you. And we thank you, Lord, that if you tell him to go, that he will be a light, that nothing's going to bother him while he's there. Nobody's going to push any buttons that will trigger anything. And we thank you, Father, that Joe will be not only a light, he'll be an opening into the kingdom. of truth in the gospel for someone, if not all, in his family. In Jesus' name. But Lord, if you don't want him to go, tell him and let him just pray for him. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Yes. Anybody else want to pray?
Amen.
Well, whatever it is, Lord, we thank you for doing it for Joe, because we know you love him and you have him in the palms of your hand, Lord. Whatever you decide, Lord, we know that you're going to be with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
We keep having issues with our internet, and now our TV is out. But last time the guy came, he said there's an issue a few houses down, and they need to get in the house because it's in. I don't know. That's something that's filters down through all the other lines. But anyway, Father, I just ask you, Lord, to reveal what the real problem is here, that the situation I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we just ask and we pray for your will be done in this, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if you don't want them watching TV and getting on the internet so much, if that's what it is, we thank you, Lord, for keeping it down. But if that's not what it is, Lord, we believe it's going to be fixed immediately in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in both of their heart to understand that you're the main reason we're here, that we need to focus our eyes on you, get in the Word, and do whatever it is that we need to do to get next to you, as close to you as we can, because these perilous times ahead, Father. And I pray this for everybody. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to do that in the days ahead, that our focus, number one, is going to be with you. You said you've told us that we're either with you or we're against you. Now, if we spend most of our time doing worldly things rather than doing spiritual things, then our focus is on the world. But Lord, if we're spending most of our time with you, then our spirit man is being fed. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in all of our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing whatever's necessary to get our mind and our spirit next to you, Lord. Because we want to be led by your spirit. I know I do. I want to be led every minute of the day by your spirit, Lord. Because when we're led by your spirit, there ain't no tripping up. There's peace. There's always peace in the heart. And Father, we praise you for doing it in all of our lives. And I thank you for it, Father. Allow each one of us to stretch out our hand to you, Jesus, to be led specifically every day by you, and to raise up our funneling arms to be filled with the Holy Spirit at the beginning of each day, and to allow you to fill us up, because we need that infilling to meet the day's demands that you have for us, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in me and everybody else, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. What was that? Did y'all hear that? It's an alien. Oh, it's the Three Amigos. y'all go ahead.
I got blessed. I got praise report, got blessing, and also prayer. I got an opportunity to meet two young people, both girls.
Is that me and David when we come over there today?
You're not a girl.
Oh, girl, I heard young. That's all I heard was young. Go ahead, Sue.
Leon and I went over to the restaurant in the Chinese restaurant. And there was this young girl there. I thought she was already out of high school, but she was high school. And she was one of the waitresses. And her name was Natalie. And we got to talking to her, and she was really giving a lot of information about her family. And that her mom was divorced, that she was at this job to help her mother, because she's divorced and they needed financial help. And she mentioned her father, and he remarried, and there's three kids from there. And so we ended up praying for her and gave her a Sovereign God book. But and she's a believer. And I mentioned if she wanted to be filled with the Spirit or water baptized, that David would do it. David and Michael would do it. So, Lord, I just pray that we would have another chance to witness to her. And I pray that that you would put it in her heart to want to be water baptized, want to be baptized in the Spirit, and just open up her eyes to see the truth in the Sovereign God. Even though she's a young one, she seemed really happy to get the Bible, and she was happy for us to be able to talk to her about the Lord and stuff. And she's only like 16 or something. I just sensed there was a an interest there, you know. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would be able to help her to be burning in spirit to want to come after you, want to follow you, and just keep her in you, Lord. Cover her with a hedge of protection, because she's so young. And the other thing, in Jesus' name, today I went to Dollar General, and I came across this lady, and she had this young 16-year-old girl. She looked like she was in like in a big buggy or something, and she had a blanket around her. And I just started talking to this her daughter, and she didn't talk back to me, but her mom says, yeah, sometimes she'll talk, sometimes she won't. She's a very, very cute girl. And I found out that her mom is a believer, and I didn't get her name, and I ended up going outside the car, and I felt like the Lord was saying, you didn't get her name. And I thought, yeah, I got to get her name. So I thought I'd wait. She was in line after me, so I'd wait, and so I could get her name. And then the Lord also reminded me, what about a book? So I looked in my trunk, and I found, and I didn't know what religion she was or anything, but I looked in the trunk, and I saw that I had initial salvation and progressive salvation, or something like, you know, that title. And progressive salvation. And so I felt drawn to get that one. So then I went back, and she was getting ready to put her daughter in the car and everything. And I said, I was just so surprised both times. I had such a peace about talking to both of these young girls, you know. Well, I was talking to the mother, but just being able to witness to them, I just felt the Lord's peace. And it was such a joy to be able to minister to these families. And so I was able to give her the book. She received it. She's Baptist. She asked me where I was going. I said, well, no, it's just a house church. You know, that's all I told her. But she received the book. Was your child born with this with a condition that she's in this? She didn't mind me asking her these questions. She was born with cerebral palsy. And she said she's able to talk when she wants to talk. And she's able to eat, which is good. And I didn't have a lot of time with her, and I didn't want to hold her up either. But I felt really good about that meeting. And so, Lord, I'd like to lift up Megan, which is the 16-year-old, and her mother, Angel. And if there's any other family members, I would like to lift them up, and I ask that you would continue to work on their hearts. Lord, I don't know if Megan is saved, being her condition, But I pray that you do work on her heart and work on her mind and grant her salvation, repentance. It seems like she does have her wits about her, but just that she's not able to move her body. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I just pray that you do a miraculous healing on her. Her mother's desiring for healing. She believes she's a miracle that she's even born and alive, because she was not breathing for a little while when she was born. And there was no blood in the umbilical cord either. So, Lord, I just pray that you just do a reversal on her body and in her mind, that she would be able to move her body, do that miracle, and even that she would you bring her heart to be burning in spirit, to want to know you, and that she would receive you and see you, and that you would just bring that family in further into you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. I was so blessed. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
I was obedient to you. I said, you said, go out and do something. I went to the store.
Well, that's good. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I went on a walk, too, before that with Gaynold and Debbie. So okay. I was being obedient. What you
said. I see y'all made it back, too. Praise God.
I felt like the Lord said, now, if I was in person, because you were praying for us, mm-hmm. and if Jesus was, if I had seen Jesus, would I obey what Jesus said? Yeah, I need to obey what he said. And because you said for us to go do something, now I could pray, so that I thought, okay, I need to be obedient, because that's Jesus in him telling me.
Okay, praise the Lord. I want to pray for Megan. Did you say she's 16, Sue? You're muted.
Oh, she can talk when she wants to.
Is she? Yeah, did you say 16. She was 16? Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Uh-huh. Well, Lord, we lift up Megan to you and her mom. And, Lord, we know it's these kind of situations here that your signs and wonders operate in a mighty way. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I ask and I pray right now that you open up mom's eyes to the power that she has inside of her as a child mm-hmm. of God, that the authority that she has can break the power of Satan on Megan.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you for doing that. We thank you. We break the power of that religious spirit that comes out of that denomination to believe that God does heal. He does it every day. And Father, we thank you that Megan is going to come out of that chair in the name of Jesus. I break the power of cerebral palsy on her and all the damage it has done to her body right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I command it to come off of her. I command all the symptoms to leave. I command every cell in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that Megan is healed, delivered, mm-hmm. and set free from that awful condition she's in. And I thank you for it, amen. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask amen. And I pray that the next time one of us comes across this young lady and her mama, that her mama will ask if we wouldn't pray for her with her. And Lord, I thank mm-hmm. you for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for anointing that book, Instant Salvation, Instant and Progressive, that she gets everything out of it and comes out of that denomination in the name of Jesus and seeks amen. The truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Praise you, amen. Father, for the work you're doing in Megan. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it.
I believe she believes in miracles. Okay. Because she believes her daughter. So that's a plus. She's amen. In a Baptist church. I believe that she's open. I just get that feeling that she's open because I told her, I'm believing that can I get your name so that I can pray? My group can pray for you and your daughter. And she says, oh yes. And I said, I believe the Lord wants to do more miracles. And she said, oh, yes, I believe so. So I'm feeling
what's
really
your
good
mama's
about
name?
Angel.
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 Okay.
Uh-huh. Megan and Angel's mama. I said, oh, that's a good name. As long as it's a good angel. I didn't say that part.
And, all right.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Debbie.
I've been talking to one of my sisters. I have three sisters that, actually four, that are so against one another. It's just, the only word I can use is nasty. It's just so bad. Two are Christians. Two others say they are. But anyway, the one, Paula, I don't really pray for her. She's just texting with her. She's telling me all this stuff. I'm not talking back with her on any of the stuff she's sharing. But she says this, she says that, you know. I just go right to the word with her about what it is to be a Christian. Told her a lot of stuff and forgiveness and the word coming out of being the seed in us and what should come out of it is the fruit of Jesus. And then she comes back with stuff like she never even, did she even read what I said? You know, so I just really want to pray for her. She says, I am a Christian. I read my Bible. I read my devotions on my phone every day. And I pray. And she's got a lot of anxiety. She was in Desert Storm. She was there. And so she's got a lot of PTSD, she calls it, post-stress traumatic disorder. And a lot of other physical problems and just a lot of anger. So I have talked to her. I said I was going to send her a book. I sent her The Real Good News. So she didn't respond about that either. I want to pray that she really does read it. I asked her to please read it and ask God to open your eyes to things you've never seen before. And Paula, I have a heart to want to, for God to really speak to your heart and open you up to what he wants from you and to be changed. And so anyway, I just want to pray for them and the whole relationship. So the other two know, they know what's right and what's wrong, but they're so caught up in what they go to church and they have their religion and they've been a Christian for years. And so I don't think they'd see the truth as well as easy as I think Paula would. So because she's in such a hard place in so many ways. So anyway, look, God, I want to lift up Paula and I pray, Lord, that you would set her free, Father. I pray that you would cause her to take to heart things that I told her, Lord, and really turning to you and being serious about you and being living for you, and how that you would tell those that say they do all this and that and works for you that you spew them out of their mouth, and God, that you would they are workers of iniquity and to depart from you. I pray that you would just speak all this stuff to her, God, and put a fear in her of you, God, and her where she really is with you, God. And I just pray that when she gets the real good news that you would, that she would want to dig into it, Lord, and really read it, Lord, and that she would ask you to show her what you want her to know, God, and that she would just be amazed at the things that she reads from that book and that comes forth from the word, Lord, and things that David explains in there, God. I pray for the anointing to just jump out of that book on her, Lord God, and that she would just receive it, Lord. And I just pray that you do a healing in my sisters, these four sisters, God. I pray you do a real healing, God, by your spirit, Father, that you do the work that only you can do, Lord. And if there was any other time for any of us others to minister into that, God, that you would arrange it, Lord. And I know there's even more of these siblings that don't speak to each other's heart. And I ask you to mend and heal these relationships in our family, God, and that you would truly be glorified in their lives, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. What's the name of your sister that
I'm talking about is Paula.
Paula, okay.
Paula.
Yeah. Okay, Lord, we just break the power of the enemy upon Paula right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We claim her soul for salvation in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for granting repentance to her and bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord. We break the power of all of the things that's hindered her from seeing you in the name of Jesus. We break the power of the spirits that are keeping her from the gospel right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that her eyes are open now. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send somebody that she would listen to around to give her the truth. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Because we know when we pray and we all agree that it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that the next time that Debbie talks with Paula, she's going to see a light that she hadn't seen before in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for doing that for Paula in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you,
Thank
Lord.
You, Jesus. I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody you. Believe that?
Thank you, Amen. God. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, my. Paula, you come on into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. There, we declared it. It's done. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe. Joe Brent, go ahead, brother.
I would just want to tell you about my experience on Sunday. During Sunday afternoon, I got a very light headache. It's not much, but it doesn't bother me. Later that evening, all of a sudden, it turns into a terrible headache. I start sweating and getting cold. And it took about 5 minutes. I was praying in tongues and rebuking it. And then, but later, I go to sleep, and it was quite easy to go to sleep. So it's just a... the first time I experienced something like that. It just things the Lord showed me for keep alert for any attacks from an enemy. Just want to thank you, Father. And I a little bit later pray. Sent an email to Michael just to keep up in prayer. But it was very light. It was just a bad experience. It's, I don't know why, but. I'll ask the Lord. I'll ask him for a verse, but I'll send it to you. Just tell me what you think, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Amen. Oh, by the way, Joe Monroe texted me and said he's going to be coming back on soon, so we'll be able to see him on here shortly. He was excited that there was now three of you from South Africa on here. Now with Will coming in the other night. So we'll see what happens. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
iPad Judy, go ahead.
Well, I told this my testimony Friday at the meeting, but I hadn't told the people here. So I thought I'd tell them. Thursday, I went to Sweetwater to give some books out to some people. But then when I left there, I stopped at a veterinarian place, and I locked my keys in the car. As soon as I shut that back door, I knew that they were in there, and I had locked the others. So I walked in the veterinarian place, and I said, oh my goodness, I locked my keys in the car. Well, this girl happened to know somebody that could unlock it for me. So she said, let me call him. He doesn't live very far. So she called him, and I was going outside then wait on him. I was kind of complaining. Lord, I was getting books out of the car. Why did you let this happen? Why did I lock my keys in the car? It's going to be $25. I was going on and on. And then just like the Lord said, Judy, it's not your money. It's my $25, not yours. Mm-hmm. And then when this guy pulled up, it was like he said, you need to give him a book. This is why he's here. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I gave the guy that unlocked my car a book. So I got a book to talk to. Yeah. So it was really neat.
Thank you, Lord. By the way, Judy, the Lord didn't lock your keys in there. You did. Now you quit blaming the Lord.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I had to do, Judy? You know what I had to do? I had to get me another key and put it in my cell phone so I wouldn't do that. That's just what I had to do.
That helps.
All right.
I have two keys.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I have a testimony to share. I thought that my phone was done. It's been acting funny, not charging properly, and it wouldn't charge right in my cord in the car. And then in here for a couple of days, it got to where it just wasn't charging. So then I had the thought, I laid my hands on this phone and was praying for it and commanded it to have to work. I just commanded it to work in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be without a phone, but I did tell the Lord, if you don't want me to have this phone, then okay, Lord, but I'm believing for this to work. And I laid my hand on it and prayed for it. But then I had the thought again to, I was switching it from outlet to outlet and it wasn't, and charger to charger, and nothing was charging my phone. So I had the thought again to go out to the car and get my charger out there and bring it in here and try it. So I did, and it worked, it charged. But I had tried it in the car even, it hadn't worked before. So that's why I thought this is really something on the battery on this phone or something's up. But I believe that God touched my phone. Again, He's done this before.
Amen. So, thank you, Lord.
He'll answer that. That's encouraging when you know when this happens. It's so encouraging.
Amen.
Because I laid my hand on that phone, like, this has got to work because I am doing this, and the real purpose I'm doing this is so that it does work. So, and then it did. So I believe that God miraculously restored my phone. So
He's a good phone mechanic.
Yeah, He is.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Lord.
I was going to say, just not taking anything away from the Lord, look at your phone, get some good glasses on, some, you can see real close, look in where the charge port's at and see if there's any lint or anything built up around inside that charge port and the phone. If it is, it'll prevent your phone jack from going in all the way properly and seating and charging too. I've had that happen to me because I carry my phone everywhere in my side pocket, and it gets full of lint once in a while. And then if I plug it in with my charge cable, it won't work. It'll be real flaky, disconnect, everything else. Just make sure there's not a bunch of lint trapped in there. And if you're going to clean it out, you got to keep it off. Get like a little pin, and go in there and kind of pull some of that stuff out. And then it'll be fine. But it's just one of the things you can look for too.
Be sure to use a non-conductor when you're doing that. A toothpick's probably the best because it doesn't conduct. You could short something out with anything metal. About two cents.
Make sure if it's stiff, something that's not going to break. You know, I've seen people also like cut off, a milk carton, make a little pick out of it, the plastic, that's something that can move in there. And that, but it won't break.
Merle had that issue with his phone, and you need to get 91% like alcohol, rubbing alcohol or something. I forget exactly what it's called, but if you can clean your phone with that, and you don't have to worry about like doing water damage. But I just used I wet the toothbrush, an old toothbrush, really good. And cleaned in there in the jack port to clean it out and yeah, that worked. Yeah, so that I didn't think of that, but that could very well be the issue.
Possibly. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Or if you won't need it to buy you a new one, take it out there with a pressure washer and try to clean it out. I just said, don't do that, Debbie. Don't do that. I'm just kidding. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn, I see you. Finally.
I don't know where this falls in, but it's something that I wanted to share. I went ahead and wrote it down.
It's a dream.
Yeah, I guess it kind of falls into a dream. It says, and this happened last night. It said, I was listening to the most recent Unleavened Bread Bible study, and I had listened to it the night before, and it was very encouraging regarding the appearance and authority of the man-child and also family members coming into the kingdom. And I fell asleep while I was listening, and I heard while I was sleeping, I have not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9. And it's pretty much the same as Isaiah 64:4. And I heard this repeated at least 2 times, but I think probably 3 or 4 times. I don't know really if this was a dream, but I just kept hearing it. And I just know that the Lord was speaking to me to encourage me. And I pray this verse often in my prayer time. So kind of felt like it went along with the Bible study itself, that that we are just going to be seeing and hearing, you know, things that we have just, we've just, it's beyond our comprehension, our imagination, anything that that we've even thought. And so I was real encouraged about that. I've had this happen one other time where the Lord just kept waking me up with or giving me a verse in a dream state, and it happened about 4 months ago, and the verse he gave me that time was, he that began a good work in you is faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And so anyway, I wanted to share that. And then also just very quickly, David was talking on the Bible study towards the end there on Sunday night about the Lord bringing provision in for the kingdom, and you know, a lot of money to take care of the body. And so I was awake quite a bit Sunday night after listening to that, and I was praying in the spirit. And then I was kind of troubled because I kept thinking about this really rich guy that I see on the Fox News page. It's where I read the headlines. And I kept seeing this person, and I was feeling bad about it. And it's like, well, Lord, what is it? This guy's just a, you know, why am I thinking about this guy? But the next morning in my prayer time, the Lord reminded me of how David had prayed that the money's going to come in to care for the body. And so I've begun to pray for these wealthy people, because what's impossible with man is possible with God, and the Lord can, you know, he's going to be bringing these people in. And then right before I got on the outreach, the Lord reminded me of, I'm going to read this verse here real quick. This is Matthew 27:57. And it says, when the evening was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who was also himself was Jesus's disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And Pilate, you know, gave him the body, and he took care of the body of Christ. And I felt like the Lord was telling me that that's like a play on words. You know, he was a very wealthy man, but he became a very godly man. He was a disciple of Christ, and he took care of the body of Christ. And I believe that that's what we're going to be seeing as we see. We should be praying for these people that are wealthy, that are the elect, and that God will be using them to take care of the body of Christ in our day, except it will be the corporate body of Christ this time instead of just the individual body of Christ. So Lord, I just lift these people up to you. You already know who they are. Lord, you know the needs of the body. And we break the power of the spirits of greed and covetousness and pride. In these people, Lord, that are your elect. Lord, that you pour out a spirit of repentance and grace and faith upon them. Lord, I pray that you draw them to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enlighten the eyes of their understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit. Grant unto them the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, and the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, that just like as Paul said, everything that they have counted as gain in the world, they're just going to see that it's worthless. Lord, you're going to give them a revelation of heaven and hell. And that when they're living in the world and for the world, that hell is their destination, and all this money, all this wealth, all these possessions, they're not going to save them. And Lord, I just pray you turn their hearts in a mighty way and bring them on into the kingdom. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That man you're talking about is worth multiplied billions. He's got more money than most everybody. And Lord, we just thank you for a small portion of it.
Yep.
And you're right. The Lord has told us he's going to provide even more than he's told us before. Mm-hmm. Multiple times more, because of what's fixing to transpire, to take care of, looks like you said, take care of God's people. It's going to happen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I like that verse. Yeah, because that's what's fixing to happen too. I'm going to read it. Can I read it, Marilyn? 1 Corinthians 2:9. Things which I saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. In other words, you ain't going to believe what's fixing to happen. Praise God. It's going to happen too. Glory to God. Oh, it's something else, folks. We've had a major breakthrough in a few people's lives, and we praise God for it. I'll tell you, God is really he's so gracious that it's just it just boggles my mind, because I know how we'd act, you know, in certain instances, a lot of times, not thinking about it. But I'm telling you, I'm just so thrilled that things are happening on the positive for a change instead of on the negative. And it's been awesome. It's been really awesome. I see people getting set free. And not only that, coming into the love of Christ that they didn't have before. And it's just awesome to watch that. It's just really good. I just thought I'd throw that out there. So don't lose heart about your family members, because when it looks like that nothing is going to happen, that's when it'll happen. You'll get a suddenly. And it's just amazing what God's doing. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm kind of dancing around it, but I'm telling you, I'm so thrilled what God's doing right now. Amen. All right. Anybody else? This coronavirus has gotten away from the Chinese, as you probably already know. But if you remember, we had asked the Lord some time back if we were to pray this thing out of here. And the Lord said, no. He said, that's my judgment on the church. But he also said, we asked him if we couldn't pray that it be lessened. And he said, yeah, we can do that. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to pray that it be lessened. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for protecting all of your elect across this world from this pestilence that's been turned loose on mankind. And it has actually gotten away from them. And it seems to be mutating differently on certain people. But Lord, I'm asking for your grace and your mercy upon all of your chosen, that the effects of this would do two things. One of them, that it would get them out of the apostate religion they're in. And the second one is that it would draw them closer to you, Father. That's what I'm asking in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. Getting them out. Because I know that this thing is going to sweep across probably America and open a lot of people's eyes to where they are in you, Lord. Because if they're not standing next to you and believing that you can deliver them out of it, then they're lost, you know. But Lord, I thank you for doing this and opening their eyes to see that, hey, wait a minute. I'm in a wrong place here because they don't believe that you heal anymore, and I'm needing the healing. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for all of your elect and finding somebody that knows the truth of the gospel that would pray for them and deliver them. I thank you for it. Lord, I'm what brings to my mind is that time when John G. Lake and that preacher he had that was out there in the bush that was praying against the bubonic plague back many, many years ago. And it finally, Lake went out there, Lord, as you know, and asked him, how's it going? How's he coming? Are we getting any victory? He said, if I could just have a little help for a little time here in praying, he said, I believe we could get the victory today. And so Lake dropped down on his knees and he went to praying. And then finally said that man jumped up and just like a wild man started running out in the bush. And Lake looked out there and there was a horde of demons. And Lord, he was scattering the demons. And I feel like, Lord, that that's what's going to happen with this plague that's coming here, is that your people are going to be fighting against it. And they're not going to have to worry about getting anything. And I thank you, Father, for doing just exactly that, that people would see that there are people out there that believe the word of God for what it says and not what some preacher told them. And Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name, that people's minds, people's spiritual eyes are going to be opened up to the truth and come out of those apostate religion in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Can't y'all just see that? Man, that guy going out there and just running with the sword of the Lord after them demons out there, whacking them right and left. He said there was just a horde of them out there, just a big black horde of them. And said when he went out there, they just poof, they was gone. That's what we're gonna do. Glory to God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leon.
I saw a report tonight that Atlanta, Georgia, has 40 suspected cases of coronavirus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got those people
quarantine,
whatever they, yeah, self quarantining themselves and just waiting to see. But they suspect it's at least 40. So.
Well, if there's 40 of them, it's got it. There's probably 100 times more than that.
Right, right. Especially if any of them flew.
Amen. Okay, look, Julie just texted me. She needs some prayer. Let's see what she's got here. Pain in my jaw on the left side. It's got to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we break the power of that infirmity on her, and we command it to go. And we command all the pain to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. You ain't got no right there. She's a child of God. And we command you to go from her right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you put peace in her heart. And she's going to feel good tonight, and she's going to get a good night's sleep in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for healing Julie right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray for her? Yeah, Leah.
I wasn't about to pray for her. I was going to pray for some other stuff.
Okay.
But I'll pray for her. Lord, just heal her up. She deserves it. Help her to believe that it's done and that you are taking it away.
Amen.
Done in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mentioned to you guys today that my brother has blood clots in his feet, and it's the blood doesn't get to his capillaries down there, and his feet hurt and so forth. But my other brother had a blood clot in his shoulder, and he was taking some kind of medicine the doctor gave him, and I saw him. TV that they had the ad for the medication, and then they had the next commercial was the lawyers suing for the medication, that same medication, because people were dying behind it. So I told him, you got to get off of that stuff, it's going to kill you. And he goes, okay. So he called his doctor, and his doctor said, oh, you're not going to die. Well, he died. So, he died in a what they said was a heart attack by himself driving, and he hit a tree. But I think that was that blood clot breaking loose that caused it to happen. But anyway, so my other brother Jerry. He's going to have this surgery where they replace the veins in his down his leg that supply the blood and so forth. They're going to take old ones out and put new ones in. But that says to me he's under the curse. So I was going to give him a curse of unforgiveness, the book that we've been reading. I'll take him, and his son's going to be there as well. His son's, I think, 48. Anyway, he's a Christian, and I was going to give them both a copy of that book, you know, and explain to them how it works, you know, how you're under the curse if you don't forgive, because God turns you over to the tormentors. So I'll go a couple of days before his surgery, so that I have time to do all this stuff. And I was going to go help him recuperate anyway. So I want to lift him up for prayer as well. And I'll pray again at the end of the month when I actually go. And Father God, we lift up Jerry to you, Lord God, and I pray that he would understand about the curse of unforgiveness, Lord God, that he would be receptive to what this book says and how he can be relieved from the curse. Because we prayed many times for him before, and he's never had really any relief. But you can do that this time, Lord. You can open his heart to hear from you that this is the truth and he has to do it. So, Lord, I pray that it happens, and I thank you that you, you're going to work with him. And actually, so he doesn't need to have this surgery. It's a non-necessary surgery, as far as I'm concerned. But we pray that you'd heal him up in the name of Jesus. And I'm believing it's all done. And just thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, healed in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Father. Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was talking to Sue about this afternoon, but the other day I had my right knee was been up and down a lot working with Leon there, and my knee was not right. It was painful, and it felt like it was out of joint, and it was just, I was limping around the house like a three-legged dog. And I went to the Lord about it, and I said, Lord, you know, I'm not under the curse, and I've been healed, and I'm claiming that healing, you know, right now in Jesus' name. And I took a couple of steps, and I was limping, and then it occurred to me, you know, I've got to walk this out. I got to, you know, act in my statement, my testimony. And so I just walked like it was healed, and it wasn't five steps. And that pain was gone. My knee was healed, and I was delivered to that little bit of infirmary. So just a little bit of a word for everybody, you know, sometimes you got to walk it out, and then you get the healing. So, and I thank the Lord for it.
You ready to go back to work now?
You're hard on these old knees.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody getting excited about what God's fixing to do? Boy, I am. I tell you something every day comes up. And it's, oh, glory to God. Here we go. We're getting so close now. He's fixing to bless his folks. He's fixing to bless his people in a mighty way. If you've been suffering from something for a long time, believing God for something for a long time, ooh, glory to God, he's going to take that from you. Because you're going to go out into the wilderness with no problems. I'm telling you, you won't. No problems. Everything is going to be healed. You're going to be delivered and set free from all that stuff that you've been believing God for. Hadn't backed up on it. You're still believing. You're still enduring in your faith. And he's going to do it. We're going to be walking out there with brand new clothes that we'll be wearing this time 7 years from now. Just like the Israelites did. Ain't no Walmart out there in the wilderness, was it? Mm-mm. Well, no bathtub neither. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to have deodorant, somebody enduring deodorant. I'm going to go around smelling good all the time. Glory to God. I don't have to take a bath no more. That takes a lot of time. You know what I'm talking about?
We can pray for warm showers, can't we?
Well, if you want to, yeah. You pray for it. Amen. Well, you know, I'm stressing it a little bit, but I'm not. I'm not stressing it. It's, whatever you believe God for is going to happen. We got a prophecy. It comes out of Ezekiel. I forget what chapter it is. It's been a while since I looked at it. But he tells us that now the things that you've been praying for are going to happen. These prophecies that you've been seeing are coming to pass this quick now. And we're going to see that. We're looking at it right now. We are looking at it right now. When you pray for something, it happens. That's what we're seeing. That's what y'all are seeing. That's what we all are seeing. Look forward to what the Lord is going to do. Amen, Barbara. Yeah, me too. He's already doing it. He's already started. Glory to God. He's already started. Look at Judy. She's already up. Man, she was feeling rough this morning. But boy, she feels good now. Glory to God. So does I. So does everybody else. We noticed the other night, somebody made a comment that they were spraying the skies, chemtrailing the skies. They could tell it by the bright moon that was out, you know, got a full moon there close to it. And they were seeing the crisscross pattern. I believe they're spraying flu and stuff out. What they're saying now, David was telling me this afternoon, that they're saying that a lot of people have pneumonia. You can't spread pneumonia, I don't think. You can the flu, but not pneumonia. But there's a lot of people that's got pneumonia. And schools are shutting down because of the flu and flu-like symptoms and stuff that people are getting. So, I don't know. I think they're trying to put this stuff on people. So, we pray against that. Let's pray against it right now for all of us, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of this, them trying to put any kind of disease on your people. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that we walk in Psalms 91, where we're under the shadow of your wing, Lord. We thank you, Father, that none of the stuff coming from the skies or anywhere else can bother us, because we're believing, we're faith-believing Christians. We're disciples of Jesus, and we don't have to put up with that mess. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about anything flying from the skies, because we are encapsulated in your love. And we thank you for it, Father. Now we can help other people too. Lord, take any kind of fear out of any of us, that when we see somebody having a problem, that all we have to do is step up to them and say, I'll pray for you right now, and God will heal you, and he will. And Father, we thank you for doing that for all of us and giving us that bold faith to do that also. Giving us that faith that John Lake had in that bubonic plague. Amen. And that prayer, hang on here just a second. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of our lives. Because I know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us all free from the law of sin and death. We're free from that. We don't have to worry about it. And we praise you, Father, for the boldness you've set in each one of us, because each one of us has the healing power of God in our hands, because we believe. And we can show people those verses that tell them, hey, look, you don't have to put up with this. Look what the word says right here in Mark 11:24. Look what it says over here in John 14:14. Look what it says over here in Matthew 18. And Lord, all we have to, and 2 Peter 2:24, and all of those great verses that gives us these promises. Father, we could show them and say, look, you're going to believe the Bible, or you're going to believe that lying preacher up there in that pulpit. And when we open up their eyes to that, Lord, they're going to get healed and walk out of there and go heal somebody themselves. And we thank you for it, Father. It's just going to be a progressive thing throughout this whole world in Jesus' name. Because I know that you're going to populate the kingdom of heaven during the next 7 years. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. Amen. All right. Yes, yeah, Sue.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay. You can hear me?
Yes. Okay. I can turn you off if I don't want to. You know that, don't you? I can hit the mute button if I need to. Go ahead.
You're going to miss out on the prayer if you don't hear it.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead.
He's asking me to pray. Lord, I just lift up all of my brothers and sisters, all of us, Lord, that you would just help us to be moved with compassion.
Yes.
Every time we see someone, because Lord, you were always seemed like you were moved with compassion before you did lay hands on people or when before you prayed for them. So Lord, help all of our brothers and sisters and myself that we would just be so moved with your compassion, Father. Fill us up with your spirit. Fill us up to overflowing that we would just, that your spirit would just come out of us in such a loving way and such a just so full of joy and peace that people would just be delivered, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Can I share quickly three sets of verses that I got from my One Vines Bible app? It's really interesting, the verses that I got.
Sure, yeah.
They're just so like interrelated. Well, every day I get one verse from anywhere in the Bible, and then I get one out of the gospel, and then I get one from Psalms. They're all random verses. Anyway, the first one I got, first one that I got was Amos 2:11, and I'm going to read 9-12. Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. Also I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and led you 40 years in the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorites. And I raised up of your sons four prophets and of your young men the Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, says the Lord? But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. And then the one I got in the Gospels was Mark 12:5. And, oh gosh. I'll just start with 5 and read, 11 maybe. And you'll recognize this if you don't have your Bible open. And he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. He had yet one, a beloved son. He sent him last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him forth out of the vineyard. What therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. Have ye not read even this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord, and it came, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. They're both, you know, about the prophets, you know, God's people, you know, that were sent to them and they didn't want to hear, you know. And and how, you know, they basically misused them, killed them, beat them. And then the next one was Psalm 124:6, and I'm going to read 6-8. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Isn't that cool? I was like, wow, Lord, thank you for such awesome verses. You know, he's that, you know, just what comes to my mind is vengeance is mine. I'm okay, you know, that we return recompense on their heads, you know, and it's, wow. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Watching over your prophets, your apostles, your man-child company, Lord, and just keeping them and protecting them and keeping them from the snare of the fowler, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being their help, the God that made heaven and earth. And you are our God, all of us. You protect us all, Lord, because we believe that you are our Savior in all things. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yep, that's fixing to happen. And the resurrection, glory to God, that's what we're looking for right there, is the resurrection of the man child. Ooh, my, 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 my. We can't stop at the cross, can we? We got to go on to the resurrection, y'all. That's where the power is. That's where the power is. Glory to God. Man, alive. Aren't y'all glad to be alive this time, at this time? I am so glad to be alive, to witness what we're fixing to witness. And, my goodness gracious sakes alive. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I'd like to lift somebody up in prayer here first. I just, I feel a bit of burden about it, but I was talking to her on Facebook there. I've known her for a little bit here. Her name's Norma. She is a Christian. And I sense there might be some unforgiveness there. I want to pray for her. You know, I was trying to tell her, you know, this is serious because she'll post at times and I can tell she's passionate about things. And, but, you know, speaking about the elderly, I guess, abuse of the elderly in nursing homes, you know, and I was trying to just tell her, hey, anger is a symptom of unforgiveness. You know, we can't hold it towards anybody. You know, she kind of mentioned, well, no, there is righteous anger, but I'm like, well, true, but anger, I mean, you know, speaking ill of others is anger, you know, and Jesus is clear about that. That'll jeopardize your salvation. You know, yeah, I mean, if you don't deal with it. So I just want to lift her up in prayer here that, you know, she would understand, you know, this is serious. So just, yeah, go ahead and agree with me here. But, Lord, I just thank you for Norma. You know, you know exactly where she's at. You know her heart, you know her situation. But Lord, it is kind of burdening me here that, you know, I sense the enemy trying to cause her to just say, no, this isn't true. You know, I discern the enemy is working against her to get her to say, you know, no, it's right to feel anger towards these people for what they're doing against the elderly. You know, it's a justified, but that's just not true, Lord. So help her to realize that this could jeopardize her salvation, that anger, resentment, you know, whatever. And Lord, give her a heart of love and compassion for these people, that help her to see most of all that these people who treat the elderly that way, they just don't know what they're doing. You know, like you, Jesus, you loved and you had such compassion upon those vessels of dishonor who were seeking for your crucifixion. Lord, help Norma, put in her a heart of just compassion and just understanding that these people just don't know what they're doing. you know, they're so bound up by Satan that they're, you know, they're victims too. You know, they're victims from the demons. So I pray that she would begin to understand that. Give her a deep revelation of that, Lord. And that, you know, that she would be quick to just, you know, pray for these people and not judge them, not be critical towards them. So, well, thank you for what you're going to do here, Lord. And just help me to be long-suffering, you know, and kind with the people who just, you know, who don't understand these things. You know, I mean, I thank you for the knowledge you've given me here concerning unforgiveness. But, you know, continue to work in me and give me just a long-suffering with those who just, you know, are not where I am. So thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Okay. The curse of unforgiveness. I'm on page 92, I believe. Yep, 92. First full paragraph. We'll start out here. Now, David was trying to exercise faith for people who were rewarding evil for good. And God has already told us in Proverbs 17 and 13, whoso rewards evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Let's read on in Psalms 35 and 14. I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down, mourning as one that bewails his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. David says, I've had that happen to me too, and I find out only later that people have been slandering me. I've been good to them, but they're going to do evil to me, or they didn't like what I taught because it was coming against their flesh. But they really wanted to go that way, so they decided to speak against me for a while. Psalms 11 and 2 says, for lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. In other words, they shoot them in the back. Psalms 35 and 15. But in mine adversity, they rejoice and gather themselves together. The abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. Like the profane mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions. And I will give thee thanks in the great assembly. I will praise thee among much people. Well, praise the Lord. And so David prayed. I found that you can pray for someone who is exercising unbelief and doubt, or they are walking in double-mindedness, and the Bible says your prayers will not be answered. But if a person is returning evil for good, there won't be an answer either. A person who is walking in willful disobedience is rebelling against the Lord. Hebrews 10 and 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. So God is saying if you walk in willful disobedience against him, he goes spank you. People can pray for you, but he's still going to spank you. So repent. Repent of your evil and turn to God. Don't walk in willful rebellion against God. There's no forgiveness for that until you get a spanking, because you have to pay the penalty for willful rebellion. Jesus will take the penalty if you repent and you turn away from your sins. But if you walk in willful rebellion, he won't take the penalty. Now I'm going to stop there and ask if there's any questions that needs to be clarified for anybody. You understand that if you walk in, as long as you walk in willful disobedience, you're going to get spanked. But that when you repent, okay, and what does repent mean? Change from what you're doing and go ahead and do what the word says. Then you put it back on Christ. And then you can ask for your healing or whatever it is that you need from God and expect it by faith. That's what he's talking about. Anybody got any questions? Okay, let's go on. So Abigail knew that Nabal's response had aroused David's anger, and she gathered together some provisions to meet the needs of David and his men. That's a smart lady. 1 Samuel 25:21. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath returned me evil for good." David was ready to take out Nabal's whole family. 1 Samuel 25:23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and alighted from her ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me be the iniquity, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine ears, and hear thou the words of thy handmaid. And let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." Well, Nabal means fool, and he was obviously living out his name. "But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from blood guiltiness, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now therefore let thine enemies and them that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal." She was saying the Lord was attempting to withhold David from blood guiltiness because neither she nor anyone else in her household was guilty, but only Nabal. And she was saying that the Lord was trying to keep David from avenging himself by his own hand. And that's a big problem. When we want to take our own vengeance, instead the Lord tells us in Romans 12:14, "Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not." Romans 12:17, "Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men." And you can't do this unless you forgive a person. What Jesus is saying to do here through the Apostle Paul can't be done if you don't forgive. And if you don't give up bitterness and so on and on. It's a manifestation of forgiveness if you render to no man evil for evil. If you have forgiven someone, then you're not going to retaliate, right? You're not going to wish any evil upon them. In verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved." And this is what David was about to do, and Abigail, by the grace of God, was reasoning with him not to do this. "But give place unto the wrath." Now, some translations add "of God" here, but that's not an original. The meaning is give place unto the wrath of whatever this person is doing against you. "For it is written, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." The Lord said he will recompense. You don't have to retaliate. If you retaliate, you're rebelling against his word, and he's going to spank you for it. Romans 12:20. "But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There were very few people in the Old Testament who understood this principle. But David was one of them and Abigail was another. They understood this, and she was saying something to him that he understood. And it was common for people in David's position to kill her enemy. But he was an unusual person, a man after God's heart. He wanted God's heart. The Lord said in Matthew 5:38, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil, but whosoever smites thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man would go to law with thee and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Notice he said sons. There's a difference in scriptures between a son of God and a child of God. The son, of course, is the one who is manifesting the only begotten Son of God, and that's Jesus Christ. If you're manifesting Jesus Christ, then you're going to do what he's telling you here. You'll love your enemies, and you'll turn the other cheek, and on and on. Matthew 5:46, "For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brother only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same?" In other words, he wants you to be kind to your enemies. All right, I'm going to stop there. Anybody got any comments on this, what we just read, about being kind to the enemies, turning the other cheek? What do we call that? We call that dying to self, don't we? Letting an old man die. Yeah, Joe.
I don't have a comment or question about that part, but I go back up on page 95. Trying to understand what he meant when he said, a little bit above the halfway point. The meaning is, give place unto the wrath of whatever this person is doing against you. Give place unto the wrath. What's he mean by that?
Well, he means just go ahead and take it. Turn the other cheek. Don't retaliate against him.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, he talks about it later on there. Okay.
Yeah. Because the Lord's telling you, vengeance belongeth unto me. He's going to take care of that guy. If you back off and you bless him, God's going to take him out. You know, he's going to spank him and do whatever it takes to get him to change his ways.
Okay, that sounds like that guy that was bothering David at Exxon, and then he got those two black eyes that next day, I think I remember. Supposed Christian.
Yeah.
And David prayed and said, "Lord, help me out here." So, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Be kind to your enemies. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Dave, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to comment that, you know, whenever we hear somebody come up against you and just it does you wrong, you know you've been done wrong. You know, you just know it. First thing Satan wants you to do is get angry. He wants you to get, and he wants you to hold on to it. He doesn't want you to let go of it. He wants you to think about it a lot. But, you know, if you realize that's an attack from Satan on you, to try to get you back into that unforgiveness and get you back into that anger and everything else that's you've had in the past. We've all had that. You know, that's where our big battle is going to be, is up in here. So you got to let that, recognize it real quick. Not only is this Satan maybe used somebody, or even God might have been using it for a test, use somebody of as an unworthy vessel at the time to motivate you to become in unforgiveness or anger or whatever. You recognize that as being the attack, and then our job now is try to not let that get and take seed. Recognize it real quick, try to let it go, pray to the Lord about it, say, hey, you know what, this was bad, but I'm going to give it to you. It's not like you're trying to wish any ill against anybody, but you know, the Lord's the one that's allowed this to happen anyways, you know, just like with Job and everything else. So now he's in total control of that stuff. We just got to realize and give place to that, because that allows us to get back into the rest and know the Lord's got everything in control. He's going to work it out for the good, however it works. Because maybe that person that is doing this, maybe the Lord needs to spank him, and that's how he's bringing that out. But he has to use you as that vessel that allows him to spank him. Otherwise, if we take care of it, the guy's never going to learn anything. But if you let the Lord take care of it, maybe that'll get his attention. Maybe that'll allow him to have time to feel like and realize, hey, what I'm doing is wrong. You know, because if the Lord takes care of it, eventually he's going to catch on, hopefully, that the Lord is, you know, coming up against me. Otherwise, if he doesn't, he's going to be reprobated. And this is the way the Lord works on other people, too, to get them into the kingdom. So we have to do our part and stay in the Lord, not get outside of the word, stay within what we have to do as Christians. Take it on the cheek, turn the other one, you know, let it go by, because then the Lord can actually work around us on other people to do as well, too.
I'm going to stir up the pot a little bit here. Yeah, Macy, I'll let you go ahead before I stir the pot.
I was just remembering when I was a kid, my brother and I were only a year and 13 days apart. And we got along really well when we were little before we went to school. We used to slow dance together and we were so cute, my mom said. Well, my mom said that when we went to school, we learned to be mean and fight each other, you know, learning off other kids, you know. But anyway, having said that, I remember my brother used to pick on me and pick on me and pick on me until I couldn't take it anymore, and I'd haul off and whack him one, okay? And then he'd be like, why did you do that? You know, he felt, you know, it was like, because I hit him, you know, he couldn't see that he was wrong in doing what he did, you know? So he'd feel like he had to whack me then, you know, because, you know, it's like, I forget how David says it, but, you know, you know, if you hit someone back or whatever, they feel justified then in hitting you then, you know? I mean, it's a vicious cycle, but yeah, that's my little story from when I was a kid. So,
amen. Yeah, Joe.
Well, when you spoke there, Dave, something else came to mind for me. Not only if you don't retaliate, you know, God will give them a spanking. You know, because I mean, he does it 10 times better than we could. So, but I mean, also eventually it will get others' attention, as in like, hey, you know, they're, you know, I think I've kind of seen that in my own life. Like, you know, people look around like they won't side with that bully anymore. You know, they won't side with that person coming against you because they'll look at you and you're quiet. You're not coming against them. You know, this person coming against you, you're trying to be the peacemaker, the better one, and eventually people will kind of side with you, like, man, this guy's a real jerk, you know, because whoever, and he's not like those who's before
tried to judge. Joe, Your audio is bad. You're cutting in and out. Is everybody else seeing that, or is it just me? Must be just me.
David had said when he's talking about how his dad, I think it was his dad or something, he was talking about something in the past where when he would go to hit his brother in defense, then he would get spanked as well as his brother. Both of them would get it. So it's like we can't defend ourselves because then we're going to get spanked, even if we didn't do anything wrong, except we try to retaliate. So that's not to retaliate. That way we will not get in trouble, even though we didn't do anything wrong.
Yes. I got some memories of that as a child. Yes.
Yeah. Well, plus when you do retaliate, you're letting your flesh live, and that's just
conquer
some war.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a miserable thing to kill that flesh.
Yep. Amen.
Well, I got knocked off, so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, remind me before we ever start to pray for the communications. Make sure everybody is able to stay on. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I command these demonic entities that keeps interfering with the conference call, I command them to leave this conference call and don't mess with it again in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for your warrior angels that are keeping these entities from doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Hey, George was in the middle of a conversation there just a moment ago, and he just went dead. Joe tried to get him back, and Dave, they were saying, George, you're knocked off or something, but we didn't get any response from him, so.
Okay.
He may be knocked off too, but I mean, he's still online, but his volume dropped.
Yeah.
That cut off.
He might have gone to his phone. I don't know. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for restoring all of our communications here. In Jesus' name. Okay. What else? What I had to do was turn my VPN off. I had to do that the last time, but I don't need to do that. Call Apple tomorrow and find out. Anyway, I had two recordings now. What happens when I get knocked off, the recording stops. And if somebody can start it back, I don't know if you can or not, but if somebody can start it back while I'm gone and keep it going, that'd be good. Because you miss all of that between the time I'm gone till I get back. All right. Any questions?
Michael, we were just talking about you while you were off, so.
Yeah.
Better that it wasn't recorded.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm turning the other cheek. You see that? I'm turning the other cheek.
It was all good. No worries.
Okay. Well,
you said you were going to stir the pot.
Oh, yeah, stirring the pot. Oh, okay, we've been talking about turning the other cheek. So we had an incident here 2 or 3 weeks ago about this guy in this church that got up and started shooting. And then the fellowship, one of the guys in the fellowship, got up and shot him. So, what do you do in that instance? Now, there's an answer. We even went over this once before. What's going to happen? Y'all remember what we said? Well, if you're a church that don't believe, okay, you better have somebody in there with a gun. But if you're a church that believes what the Word of God says and you're adhering to the tenets of the Word, then that won't ever happen, will it? Because you know that when you pray and you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. So if we pray that we got safety, we command all the demons out whenever we come together and we have an open heaven, none of that stuff's going to happen, is it? Because you got warrior angels stationed around your church that keeps out all of that kind of garbage. In the first place, they're not going to come up there and mess with people of faith because the angels will keep them from it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? The fellowship that needs guns are not believers. Y'all agree with that? They're not believers. They're churchgoers. That's what they are. It's the believers that don't need the guns. And I wish everybody could hear this that's in the denominational churches. Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I know we've gone over it before. I just want to make sure everybody understood that you don't need a gun in church if you got faith. You don't even need a gun to go hunting in. Y'all know that? Who was it I ran across here? Oh, when I was home, when I was back in Arkansas, my neighbor and I got to talk with him, my next door, across the street neighbor, good friend. And I went over to thank him for doing some stuff for me. And we got to talking. He said, "Hey, you know what happened the other day?" I said, "No, what happened?" He said, "I was out here out back, and I heard this ka-thunk. And then I heard this hollering, this deer hollering." He said, "I bet one of them deers got hit." And he went out there, and the deer was still alive. And he got the deer, dressed the deer, and he had the deer on the back of his pickup. He said, "You want some of this?" And I didn't have any place to put it. I said, I'd love to, but I don't have any place to put it right now. He didn't have to fire a shot. You know, God can provide, can't he? He don't have to do that. That's so awesome. And I can see us do it just like he did Abraham and Isaac, right? He could put a ram in the fence, get him caught up in a bush somewhere. You go over there, slit his throat, fry him up, and here you go. Uh-oh. What happened? Okay. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. You don't need a gun for that if you have faith. You go duck hunting without a shotgun. I'm just thinking of things. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking of things. I've had ducks. Now we can get off on some hunting stories now. I've had ducks come in the woods, breaking limbs, coming down right in front of me. Y'all ever had that happen when you was hunting duck? I've had them coming in a rice field so thick that you had to shut the combine off so you wouldn't combine the ducks when you was in a rice field. That's the gospel. I've had that happen. What happens is there's ice everywhere. And they see reflection of water that's already been broke loose, and they'll come down and hit that water, not paying any attention about what's going on around them. They see breakfast, man. They see breakfast. That's all they're looking for. Anyway, just a little side trail there. All right, where'd I leave off at? Down at the bottom of page 96. Okay. The world doesn't know anything about this, folks. In the world, when they have enemies, they fight with them. There are wars between nations, and they kill lots and lots of people. Fighting with enemies is a thing of the world. and ain't got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God does not call you to take up the sword against your enemies. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the worldly church says. Jesus forbids it. So you're either going to obey Jesus or you're going to obey what the apostate religious leaders tell you. War is from the flesh. You know, I don't know if Donald Trump understands that or not, but I think he's more in the getting people out of there from getting killed over there, Americans from getting killed more than anything, but at least he's shutting down all the wars that they had going on over there when he came into office. And that's a good thing. And I think that's God guiding him to do that. James 4:1, whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your pleasures that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and covet and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may spend it in your pleasures. Ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or think ye that the scripture speaks in vain? Doth the spirit which he made to dwell in us long unto envy? James spoke severely against war. And if you take the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Matthew 26:52. Then saith Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. You know, God is merciful with the unjust, and he wants us to be merciful too. Matthew 5:48. Ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. All right, I guess we'll stop right there. So God don't want us in any kind of wars. Doesn't make any difference what the patriot people say, you know. He don't want us in wars at all. He don't want us in wars amongst each other either, does he? Getting mad at one another over stuff. Amen. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Missy.
What came to me is you know, he'll use it for the sake of his people, his elect, you know, because like the whole thing with Jehoshaphat sent the praisers out ahead. They did not have to fight one bit. The Moabites and the Ammonites came against Seir, and then after they defeated Seir, then the Moabites and the Ammonites killed each other. Then they didn't have to lift a finger. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, that's just so cool. You know, that is a perfect example of the Lord saying, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and that he's our defender, you know. And I know there's other times where, you know, Israel's the Jews' enemies came against each other, you know, and but yeah, that's cool.
Amen. Well, we know ourselves that when you come into fellowship and you pray in the spirit and you sing and you praise God, that it clears the air, doesn't it? And that's what we're doing. The demons can't stand it when we praise God and pray in the spirit, sing in the spirit. They can't stand it. They just go, they get confused, and that's what happens, I believe, you know. Praise the Lord. Well, okay. Well, we're all out of time here. Does anybody got any prayer requests before we close out? Okay. Yeah, Joe.
I meant to bring this up earlier, but just strength to keep pressing forward. So I mean, that's kind of a given. We probably pray every day for one another, but I could use it. I'm sure everyone else could. So just lift that up.
Okay. So, yeah. All right, well, Father, we do that right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that you give everybody supernatural strength to endure in their faith and to turn the other cheek when these things come upon us. Give us that overcoming power, Lord. You've already given us that with the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you make it alive in us and to put it in our hearts every morning to rise up, praising you and asking to be filled with your Holy Spirit to take care of today's duties that you have us in, Lord. And I praise you for that. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you put it in everybody's heart to just want to be led by your Spirit. And Father, I ask that you set a watch before our lips not to say anything against your word, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us all into that perfection realm of holiness. Amen. And Lord, we thank you that when the anointing comes, it's going to be awesome. And that we'll be prepared for it. And that we will receive it in a mighty way.
Yes.
And we just thank you, Lord, for the times that we have together. We ask, Lord, that you be with us, protect us, guide us. Give us that anointing to believe that nothing can hurt us. Take any kind of fear away from us, any kind of anxiety, any kind of anxiousness. We command them to go from everybody here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep for everybody, too. Be with us again as we come together Thursday night, Lord, and to share your word, to share what you've done for us, to give the praise reports and the testimonies. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right.
Amen.
Y'all be blessed.